Open your Bibles, if you will, to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Bryce used these verses and went in a different direction this morning. And I want to entitle this lesson, Good Citizens, and look at a little bit different angle tonight. Paul begins here in Titus chapter 3 with these words, remind the people. Samuel Johnson said, we don't need to be taught new ideas so much as we need to be reminded of old truths. And we see that little phrase more than once in Scripture, remind the people. And so tonight, this is probably something that you've already heard and already know, but we need to be reminded of these truths periodically. What was it exactly that Paul was so interested in having Titus remind these Cretan Christians of? Well, they needed to be reminded that they needed to be good citizens in the Roman Empire. They needed to be good citizens of the area of governance that Crete comprised there within the Roman Empire. Now today we need to have the same reminder as citizens of these United States of America. I think we all know and appreciate the value of this country in which we live, but we need to be reminded of the responsibilities which go with our citizenship here in this nation. We tend to take things for granted. And I know that it's a bad habit to get into to bemoan all the ills of our society without ever reflecting on the benefits of our society. And I know that things are changing and not always for the better. But let me just pause and remind you for a moment that we enjoy a standard of living. In spite of our current recession, we enjoy a standard of living like no other nation throughout history has enjoyed. We enjoy freedoms today that few nations historically at any point in time enjoyed. We have a say in our government, and that's not been true of most of the people who have lived on this planet. So in spite of things that we see that are negative, we have it so much better than most people who have ever walked on this earth. And as Christians, we of all people should be model citizens. Now we tend to be, especially here in the Midwest, a pretty patriotic lot. I know Veterans Day is coming, and we've even had to change the weekend that we typically go down to Branson for the elders and ministers retreat. We've been down there the last few years on the Veterans Day weekend, and we can't even get into a restaurant down there. The place is so crowded. That's one of the biggest weekends that they have there in Branson. So tonight I want us to talk about our responsibilities before God as citizens of the country that we find ourselves in. Number one, here in this passage, Paul simply reminds them to be respectful of governmental authority. He says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. This morning in class, I'm sure you talked about this to some degree, and one of the passages that you may have referred to is the passage in Romans chapter 13. Let me ask you to flip back over to Romans 13 for a moment, because this offers the most comprehensive treatment of our responsibilities before government in any of the writings of the Apostle Paul. Here in Romans chapter 13, in verse 1, Paul writes, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, it's not my understanding that God was the one that wanted to see men like Hitler in power, or Saddam Hussein, or any other dictator that's done atrocious things to his people. This passage and other New Testament passages like it are simply teaching that it is God who has instituted authority. And as such, this authority is to be respected by those who are governed by it. Authority occurs in three different spheres: in the home, in the church, and in government. Now, this was necessary, these instructions that we find here in Romans 13 and in Titus and in Peter and in Timothy. We see it frequently in the New Testament. It was necessary so that there would be order in the world that God created. Here in Romans 13, verse 2, Paul goes on to say, "Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good." If you're driving down the road and you're driving the speed limit, and if you set your cruise control at 65, and that's the speed limit, and you come over the crest of the hill and you see that highway patrol car there on the edge of the road, you don't have to worry because you're doing the speed limit, and you just go by and you wave a nice friendly wave at him as you move down the highway. But if you're going 75 miles an hour and you come over that same hill and you see that highway patrol car parked along the side of the road, your heart immediately lurches and goes into your throat, and you hit the brakes and you're watching in the rearview mirror as you pass by to see if he's going to come out and pull you over and give you a ticket. Now, at least I've been told that that's the reaction that people have. Paul says you don't have to be afraid of governmental authority if you're doing what you ought to do. He goes on to say in the middle of verse 4 there, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of justice to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Be obedient, he says, not only because you might get caught and you might get fined or you might go to jail. He says, also do it for the sake of your conscience. You have an even higher motive than fear of authorities. You may outsmart the law, but as a Christian, you are subject to a higher law, to a higher code of conduct. And then he goes on there in Romans 13, down in verse 6, and he says, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now, Paul wrote this to Christians, I don't have to remind you, who were living under a far more oppressive regime than anything any of us have ever experienced. He was writing to a group of Christians who were living under a government that would ultimately deny Christians their rights and would even go a step beyond that to persecute and to try to destroy the church. So whatever problems you may be able to point out with our present day government, it does not even begin to compare with the injustice under which these New Testament Christians lived. We are still to submit to the God-given authority of our leaders. You know, David didn't agree with Saul's leadership, and Saul acted in a very ungodly way towards David especially. But you remember in that story as Saul pursued David in the hill country, and on two occasions, David could have taken Saul's life. He was in that cave one time and he cut off a piece of his garment, and David even felt guilty about doing that. Another time, Saul was asleep, he went down there and he took his sword. Each time, David refused to do what his men wanted him to do in taking the life of King Saul, and he replied instead, "I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed." Even when those who are in positions of authority within our government are imperfect, when they don't act in the way they ought to act, we are to be different from the rest of mankind. We are to show respect to the office and still submit to their leadership. I want to just encourage all of us, and I tell you that right now about what I'm about to say, I'm speaking as much to myself as I am to any of you. We need to be careful about the jokes that we tell and about the emails that we forward in respect to our leaders in this country. Secondly, we are to obey the laws even when we disagree with those laws. You know, we don't mind submitting to laws that we think make sense, but there are laws on the book that I'm sure everyone here thinks are nonsense. And we feel like, well, we're not subject to that. Many of you remember Richard Montier. Richard was known and loved by this congregation. He came here, and he was from a very rough background. And Richard and his family just lived down the street here, not too far. And from where they came from, every New Year's Eve, when the clock struck 12, they would all go outside and they'd get their shotguns and just shoot in the air. Well, he liked to do that just down the street here. And we said, "Richard, you can't do that in a neighborhood. That's against the law." Richard said, "Well, that's a dumb law." He said, "That doesn't hurt anybody just to shoot your shotgun in the air to celebrate the incoming new year." Well, we persuaded him against doing that. But there are laws that all of us think are dumb laws, and they restrict our rights or our privileges in this world. According to Scripture, the only time that we can actively disobey the law of the land is if that law conflicts with the law of God. And then we say, along with those apostles, we must obey God rather than man. We've got to be willing, though, if the opportunity allows, to go beyond submission and all, and that is to serve in our communities, or to serve in our states, or to serve in our nation. And there are many examples in Scripture of people of God who served as public servants. Joseph did. David did. Josiah did. Esther did. Cornelius did. And I'm grateful that we have had local Christians that have done that. I'm grateful that Mel Hancock served as Congress, Bob's brother. I'm grateful that Jack Cole has served as the mayor out at Rogersville. I'm even grateful that Dwight is serving on the school board there in Rogersville. It's a good thing. It's often a thankless job, but it's a good thing to have Christians using their influence to improve our communities and our states and our nation. You know, it's important for us as good citizens to also, whether we serve in public office or whether we just serve in our jobs, to do all we do with integrity. I used to think that the goal in life was to get to the point just as soon as you can where all you can do and all you have to do is just be in a hammock and have someone peel grapes for you and just live the good life and take it easy and just do nothing. That's not, though, what I have discovered that makes for happiness. Anyone that is able to do that will tell you that grows old after a while. Anyone who has nothing to do is not usually a very happy person. That's not the good life. Satisfaction in life is found in service. That's the way God made us. That's where true happiness and fulfillment is found. So the goal is to work in such a way that what we do honors God and blesses our community, so that we are able to share with others who are in need. That's what makes us happy people. That's what makes us productive people. And at the end of life, we can look back with a sense of pride over what we have been able to do in service for others. And I'm encouraged by those I see here who reach retirement in their jobs, and they're even busier in retirement years than they were during their work years in service for others. The goal in life is to be a giver, not just a taker. Now, there are times and circumstances when we must be on the receiving end, and we have a society, and I'm grateful for that, that cares for those who need to be on the receiving end of things. But listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. That's what makes for a good life. And then one final thing that we need to do as good citizens. It's not in Titus, it is in Timothy. And it's, I believe, the most powerful thing that any of us as Christians can do to make this a better nation to live in. It's a more powerful action than a Christian lobbying group. It has greater effect than signing a score of petitions and forwarding those to our congressmen. It's more powerful than any political action group or any march on Washington. It's what Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 6 when he talked about the battle that we're involved in, a very real battle with Satan and with the powers of darkness. And he says there in that battle, you be prepared when you go out and you put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and take the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. And after he describes all that armor, he closes by saying, and pray. You're never ready for battle until you've prayed. You're not ready to be a good citizen until you have offered a prayer. And that's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And then Paul closes with those words of instruction to Titus. And as we are moving into a very politically charged season, the commercials are all about to start, and you know it as well as I do. The election year is upon us. And he says there in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, and listen to these words, take them to heart. Slander no one. Be peaceable and considerate, and show true humility toward all men. You know, you and I are citizens of a great country. I believe the greatest country in the world. But we're citizens of a kingdom that is far greater than any country. And God asks us to pledge our allegiance to that country, that kingdom, and then to act as citizens of the kingdom of God to bless the nation in which we live. Tonight, if there's anyone here who is not a citizen of that kingdom of heaven, we want to encourage you to take that step tonight. If we can pray for you in some struggle that you have in life, we'll gladly do that. We invite you, while we sing this song, to make your need known by coming forward and allowing us to assist you. Won't you do that while we stand and sing?